Blog Talk Radio, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Turn your stuff up. It's season 2, and your boy is in the building. That's right. You have tuned into the Brothers Podcast. I am so excited for another season like no other, and I am so excited to host this thing with the doctor of them all from the city of brotherly love by way of Motown. It's the one and only Dr. Bertrand is in. Dr. Javon Bertrand is in the building. Say what's up, bro.
What's up, good people?
I heard that. And we're waiting on the other bro to come in, but we ain't even going to prolong this broadcast. Yo, I'm so freaking excited about season 2. And we're going to definitely jump right into the hot topics this week. We have a couple of things that jumped off over this past, you know, since we aired last. One of them being the Pope passing away. This has really been a big thing. Pope Benedict the 16th died at the age of 95, and this has been a hit around the world. He was the 265th Pope. And so, in your eyes, Dr. Bertrand, why is this death so significant as it relates to the Catholic Church?
Well, he was a lot of firsts. He was the first, he was the first to not die in office, which is huge because a lot of people think dying in office is a threat, but he felt the need to make way for someone else as his health had began to decline. And I think that we can get a lot of examples from his life and even we were allowed to see in media from what he was able to say and do.
Check your mic, bro. I think your mic just went out.
Can you hear me?
Still staticky.
Okay. All right.
Think we're good right there. A little bit. Start talking.
Yeah.
It's going in and out. You may got to unplug it and plug it back in.
Okay.
All right. While he's getting his technical difficulties situated, our bro just kicked in all the way from our nation's capital by way of Hyattsville, Maryland. None other than the educated and educator, Maurice, is in the building. Maurice, say what's up to the people.
What's up, people? What's up?
So we're talking about we're talking about the Pope's death and the significance that you feel like it has, the impact it has made across this nation, especially in the Catholic Church.
Well, I feel like Dr. Bertrand said that he was the first to not die in office. And I feel like I feel like we really didn't get a chance to know this particular Pope. Because he wasn't in office very long. Like, I feel like we miss something. You know how, like, he was there, and then they think he's not there. Like, I just felt like that was going on. It wasn't like, you know, we grew up with Pope John Paul II. So Pope John Paul II was our Pope from, the time we were children to the time we were adults. So I just feel like it's a lot we didn't really get to know about Pope Benedict. Like I said, I felt like he wasn't in office long, and it was just kind of an interesting move.
Gotcha. Definitely. Bro, you back up? All right. Moving right along. Speaking of deaths, TV journalist and reporter and producer, and I'm quite sure she can add maybe about 1,000 other things to her title. Barbara Walters has died at the age of 93. This woman has hosted everything on Channel 6 or ABC. like
yes, she did.
On ABC. She is groundbreaking. She has done things that many people have never done or even dreamed to do. Iconic interviews from presidents to world leaders to Hollywood stars, even the interviews where she was not scared to ask the questions we were all thinking. Barbara Walters, once again, has passed away at the age of 93. What impact would this leave for today's journalists? And if you, or as a journalist, because technically as podcast hosts, we're technically considered journalists, what do you feel is the one thing you can take away from her career?
I mean, this woman interviewed any and everybody. I mean, her track record speaks for itself. I feel like there will never be another journalist like her and Oprah. I grew up with both of them, you know, but I grew up with Oprah. I feel like there will never be another broadcast journalist as popular and as progressive as Barbara Walters. And, you know, she also created The View.
Absolutely. Who paid tribute to that?
Yeah, I believe created The View. So I feel like she is icon. Like you said, she's an icon, and I don't think there will be anyone that would be able to touch her. Not even Diane Sawyer, and we know Diane Sawyer had that wonderful interview with Whitney Houston. So I don't think anyone can touch Barbara Walters, and I think we lost a great journalist, a great woman. And she was, I mean, you think about it, she's breaking barriers as a woman, as a journalist, you know, like I said, she created The View. I just think that we won't ever get that type of journalist with that magnitude and popularity. Because everybody
definitely
knows Barbara Walters.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Bertrand, what about you?
I think our brother's still having some technical difficulties.
Yeah, he may have to dial back in. All good. I mean, for me, I take away from Barbara Walters, don't be scared of the real questions. You know what I mean? I feel that what made her so strong and so popular with today's news media, and actually throughout her career, she was never scared to ask the questions that people wanted to know. And it wasn't a thing where she delved to get the question. She went cutthroat, dry, straightforward to the question, and she wanted to make sure that you understood that her voice was going to be heard. The other thing is I love how she controlled her interview. You know,
right.
even when times when the voice got real spicy, you know what I mean? She now listen, this is what we not going to have. So I just love her cutthroatness, and I love the fact that she wasn't scared to go head first into asking questions that I feel a lot of people were scared to ask. Like, you know, I feel like if she could have interviewed R. Kelly, she would have said, you know, well, was that not you peeing on the girl in the video? I just feel like she wasn't scared, you know what I mean? Like, she was like, let's go. I mean, Diane Sawyer got controversial interviews, and you know, even what was his name? Walter Cronkite, you know, Cronkite, whatever. He did pretty good cutthroat interviews, you know what I mean? But Barbara just knew how to go right for the juggler, you know, and I felt like as a journalist and as a media personality, even when we start interviewing people on our show, I think we should just, you know, I took away never be scared to ask the real questions, no matter what the atmosphere. You know, there's a lot of preachers I would love to interview and just be like, how much money have you taken from the church? You know, just different things.
Would you say?
I would love to interview a couple of preachers and just ask the question, you know, so how much money have you really taken from the church? You know what I mean? Just some things that I've been wanting to know about some preachers. You know, how many trusted, how many secretaries did you really sleep with? You know, stuff like that.
You're trying to start trouble.
Wow.
Back up to Philadelphia. What's the one thing from Barbara Walters do you think as journalists we should take away from her career?
You can do it without a blueprint.
That's deep.
She literally never saw a woman in television. And she became the standard. She became the trailblazer because there was nobody before her. There was no woman before her on broadcast television. And you can do it in the midst of oppression because her co-host was one of the nastiest men on TV. And he did it while they were live.
Ooh.
So you can do it without a blueprint, and you can do it in the midst of being oppressed. So we don't have an excuse. I remember when she retired, and all of the women that were in broadcast television were known in journalism came to The View. There were black, white, Asian. There was not a demographic that was not represented because she became the blueprint. She didn't have one to look to, but she became one that could be looked at.
She was so
precise in what she did that even when you talk about Oprah said that wouldn't have been me if there hadn't been you, because I saw you.
Wow.
And we never think about that. Because we're always looking for somebody to have done it before us. And this is something I say all the time. If you're always looking for an already used blueprint, you're not going to do anything different. So all of those women saw a blueprint, but they stood in who they were to be different and still follow footsteps. We have the ability to do that.
I love it. I know this is going to be a huge hit. I'm waiting to see which school starts the Barbara Walters School of Journalism, because you know somebody's going to do it.
Yeah. It needs to happen.
Absolutely. What bothers me most with things like that is I think we need to stop doing things posthumously so much and give people their flowers while they're yet living. Because there's so much, like even here in Delaware, we've done so many things for people after they die.
Right.
And these are people, you know, people who have paved blazed trails, not just paved ways, but blazed trails. And we always wait till someone dies. And then all of a sudden we got these big ideas and big hopes for them. And so imagine how much stronger it would be if you give me my flowers while I'm yet living. Al Roker, for instance, you know, he's still suffering. Imagine how it would be if they gave Al his flowers while he was yet living.
Right.
You know, because he's another broadcast person that we can really get our young people to learn from. So that's another thing. Big happenings on the football field yesterday. Buffalo Bills star Damar Hamlin was rushed to the hospital in the beginning of the first quarter in an apparent cardiac arrest after he collapsed on field. Very, very scary time for the NFL. And very, very scary time for the Buffalo Bills. We have been keeping them in prayer all night and even into today. Young man, 24 years old, very, very big in his community and with his own charity. And, you know, parents was there at the game. How terrifying do you think this should have been for the NFL? What type of bars do you think need to be raised as it relates to athletes and their health or health period in the United States? And what do you think should be the takeaway, if anything, that the NFL should know for this?
So what I read was that he was hit in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a technical term, and I will have to find the technical term. So he was hit in the chest. And when he was hit in the chest, it caused him to go into cardiac arrest. That's why when you see him stand up and then he collapses, mm-hmm. because it was the hit. And this is something that is known within the NFL. I just think that it's like wrestling. Like, if you execute a move wrong or do something that kind of shifts something, because Dre and I, we watch wrestling, and we know, like, if they execute the wrong move or do a misstep, it can cause them to be injured. And I think that this was just, it wasn't intentionally. I think that this was something that he was hit from the thigh, he was hit in the chest, and he was able to get the man on the ground to the side. Y'all can tell I'm not a football fan.
He was able to complete the tackle.
Right. Thank you. See, yep, there you go. Mm-hmm. yep, see, I'm not athletic. So this was something that it wasn't intentional. It was actually an accident. So it wasn't intentionally. It was done by accident. So I think, you know, we just have to make sure, Harris, you can help me out. When they're calling or running their plays, is that what
you're saying? Yep, there you go. Uh-huh. When we're running the play. Uh-huh.
When they're running the play, just make sure that whomever is going to do whatever, see, that's why you got to help me out here, is able to withstand the impact. Because, of course, playing any sport can be life-threatening, any sport. You do a wrong move, you go the wrong way, you turn the wrong way, you can injure yourself permanently. So I think this, from what I read, was that he was hit in the chest after the being tackled. Was he tackled?
Well,
I wasn't watching.
I'm looking at
you
play now. Actually, he was making. Yeah, he was making the tackle, and the person who had the ball kind of went.
Hit him in the chest.
Yeah, went shoulder first into his chest, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's actually hard to tell if he had he didn't have the ball, I can tell you that. The runner had the ball, number 85, that went chest first into him.
Right.
But when he ended up, he sure enough went down.
Right. And they said he had to be revived twice while on the field.
Yeah. Yeah, cardiac arrest is nothing to play with. I personally feel the U.S. has to get better with and with the heart, period. I really believe I really don't understand it. Being a person who suffers from heart disease, I don't understand why there's nothing in your annual physical that involves checking your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about just putting a stethoscope to your body and saying breathe in, breathe out. But, like, why do they not at least have an echocardiogram or some type of heart pressure check? Because the U.S. has one of the highest rates of cardiomyopathy amongst youth in the world. And we have one of the highest rates of cardiac issues in the world. And everything is not tied into the foods that we eat. It's not tied into what we drink. It's not tied into the fact that some of us smoke or drink or anything like that. Some people have heart issues that they would never know about if they don't have a heart attack. But now you're playing Russian roulette with my life. And what I don't understand is we're quick to check people for the flu. We're quick to check people for pneumonia. We're quick these days to check people for HIV and STDs. When do we consider the heart, which is the most valuable organ in the body, worth checking and make it an annual thing? Why do I have to die or almost die before my heart becomes important to doctors? Dr. Bertrand?
Yeah, that's a real question. But as I been kind of watching throughout the night and throughout the day, my concern, not only for him, praying for him and his family, is the lag time that it took to postpone the game, to cancel the game, and come to find out the NFL didn't even make a decision to cancel the game for the night. The players and the coaches said, we're not about to do this. I just watched somebody have a cardiac, we don't even know what it is. We can't verbalize it, but this person could have died in the midst of a play, and you're so pressed about money that lives don't matter. We got to do better overall with how we treat each other. Like, the moment they got them off the field, the game should have been over. Ain't no give us a 5 minutes. That's traumatic for people to watch.
Absolutely.
Imagine I work with this person all day, every day. We're in practice together. We have relationship. And I just watch you do what you're supposed to do and then fall down. And for 9 minutes, they had to do CPR. You had to be resuscitated, and now you want me to play a game. I understand this is my job, but there's no conscience for what people are experiencing. Not only him, not only the players, but the fans in the stands, the fans watching at home. You know, that's very triggering. And I think that there has to be some type of policies implemented that would automatically postpone a game, regardless of how important it is or is not. Because, one, if you don't have players, you don't have a game.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to take care of the players. But we also need to be considerate of what's being seen. What's happening? This young man is 24 years old and had cardiac arrest on his job, and you want his coworkers to go back to work.
Wow.
That's not cool.
Wow.
I don't like it.
I think for me, that's any sport. Because I remember when Owen Hart died, and they just continued, rolling the broadcast, like, you know, because it was a pay-per-view. And I totally do not believe that was a good call on the behalf of wrestling, you know, like, for sports, period. Number one, you got people in the crowd that you expected to now get into the show after watching an actual performer fall to their death, you know, and the people said that, like, he hit his face so hard on the ring post that they thought the bell had rung.
Wow.
So, you know, I just feel like you got to be kidding me that this is what you allow to happen. I just feel like that's absolutely bonkers. Like, I don't understand what people are expecting to earn through this, but I just feel like wholeheartedly we have to do better in the entertainment industry, in the sports industry, and we have to make sure that we understand the lives of people matter. The lives of the people matter, the lives of those that we hold valuable to us matter, and then our sports fans, they, you know, like, this is traumatic for them to see someone drop and in the middle of the field. His parents, for God's sake, was there. His family was there. You know, and so I felt like, you know, to not make the call to just end the game immediately shows your lack of human sympathy and human empathy. And it shows that it shows what a lot of people have been saying for years, that when you are an athlete, you're nothing but a number to who you're working for. And some good news that's gone on, both Janet Jackson and Jill Scott have opened up the booths for touring. Jill Scott coming with the 20th anniversary of the Who Is Jill Scott concert, and Janet Jackson coming with the Together Again tour. These two tours are going to be off the chain. They are, Janet, I know it's 33 cities. I believe Jill is 26 cities, I believe, maybe more. Janet's kicking off March the 23rd in Florida, and Jill kicking off, I don't even know when she's kicking off, but I know she is touring throughout. I believe she kicked off already. If she hasn't kicked off, she's about to kick off in like a week or two, if I'm not mistaken. So what are your thoughts of these two mega icon superstars? I promise you, I'm getting my tickets Mother's Day weekend. They're going to be in the Baltimore and D.C. areas, and I'm just going to make it a weekend. What is your thoughts of these two mega superstars back on tour again?
Well, as we talk about Janet, she's celebrating 50 years in the music industry, Jill with 20. Now, we can't forget about Anita Baker, who's going on tour in 2022.
Right, absolutely.
After having recovered her masters and all of the great things, I'm excited to see, and she's supposed to be coming out with new music.
Songstress tour. And I think she's coming out with a 2 or 3 disc LP.
So we need good music. We need real music. We need real singers, and we need performers. So I'm excited to see what happens.
I know that's right.
I love it. I love the fact that.
Hold on, I'm sorry. So Janet is in DC. I mean, is in Baltimore on May the 12th. Jill's in Oxon Hill on May the 13th, and Anita's in Baltimore on May the 14th. I might have to extend my vacation. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. They're all right there together, huh?
Yeah, they're all like in the same cluster the whole weekend. Like, listen. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just went into music heaven.
I'm excited that these divas icons are coming back. I know this is her coming back after Kathy canceling her tour because of COVID, correct?
Yeah.
And so also, and then to hear Anita.
And same with Jill.
Yeah, same with Jill. So I'm excited these divas are on the road and coming back. I would love to catch one of them. I don't care if it's Anita or I don't think I'm going to catch Janet so much, but I would love to hear Jill Scott. I love a good singer. I love a good singer. Jill Scott and Anita. Janet is going to give you performance because that's who she is. I don't rank her as in the top singing category. she does. She tries, but
here's some hatred, Jesus. I just hear.
No, I love Janet. Give me a good Janet song. I promise you. But I just don't rank her up like. Yeah. Give me a good finger.
Okay.
Like a Kelly Price. But, I mean, I would love to go to a show just to see her.
Kelly Price don't think she screams.
Yeah. Most do. But, yeah. So May 13th, May 12th.
May 12th, May 13th, May 14th. The DMV area is going to be packed.
The DMV, yes. Hold on, let me see. That's the second weekend. A Friday, a Saturday, and a Sunday.
That's Mother's Day weekend, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So if you're listening, you want to take your mother to any of those concerts, or you want to go as a mother, you got Jill, Janet, and Anita.
And shameless plug, you can get your tickets at andreharris.goldentickets.com.
Say that one more time.
andreharris.goldentickets.com.
All right. Get your tickets.
andreharris.goldentickets.com. That's andreharris .goldentickets.com.
Work it, sir.
Just thought I wanted to throw that out there.
Now, so is this a regular website that we is for ticket sales for concerts?
This is absolutely my ticket website. We have sporting events, concerts, Broadway plays, and more. Golden Tickets has been around for years. We partner up and compete with the best of them, including Ticketmaster and Vivid Seats. We have special pricing for special things. We got our own little front row exhibitions and different meet and greet packages and all that good stuff also. But you can check us out, Andre Harris, that's AndreHarris goldentickets.com. And it will be on the brothers' Facebook page and social media outlets as of tonight.
All right. Get your tickets, people.
Awesomeness, awesomeness. All right, bro. Well, I tell you what, that's all we have for our hot topics this week. We're going to turn this thing over to Dr. Bertrand and get into our discussion for the night. Let's roll through it.
All right. Listen, we are at the beginning of the year, and this is usually a time of reflection for people. You know, the famous phrase, new year, new me, and all of that, that's great. But one thing that I notice is we don't really understand the value or the power in evolving. We don't understand how it is that we are to become who we are and who we will be. I say we are in a constant state of becoming. It doesn't mean that you were ever fake or not real. It just simply means that you understand that you're not who you used to be. Your natural body, every 7 years, medically they say it's like you have a whole new body. Your body regenerates itself. And your mind, your thought processes, your psyche has to go through very similar processes, especially when you're going to walk out purpose, when you're going to walk out destiny, when you're going to do something that you've never seen before. We were talking about Barbara Walters. Even when looking at some of the tributes and some of her older broadcast stuff, it was like when she was with NBC, she said, I was drowning. I was sink. When I came to ABC, I was able to find myself again. I was able to become what I knew I saw of myself. And she had an over 50-year career through all of the ups and downs and lefts and rights because she was willing to become. And you could see over time how she changed. Not that she became different in the sense that she wasn't recognizable, but she matured, she changed, she grew. And we as people have to be willing to do that. We have to be willing to become. You were born, you became an infant and a toddler, you became pubescent, you became a teenager, you became an adult, and all of those processes, you became, you experienced, you learned to be better for the next phase of your life. And we are in the crux of 2023. We're moving forward in this new year. And I thought, since this was our first show, that we should talk about becoming. Not just becoming in the sense of what you can do, but becoming in and knowing what you like, knowing what your emotional state is, becoming and understanding what it means for you to enjoy yourself, to love yourself. What is self-care for you? This is all a part of becoming, because in becoming, I got to take care of who I am while preparing for the reality that in a time to come, this may change. It didn't mean I didn't like it. It just means I don't like it now. When you were a baby, you ate baby food. As an adult, I would hope. You're not eating baby food now.
I don't know. Them bananas is banging.
Okay, you work that out. I don't like bananas. I didn't like them as a child. I don't like them as a child. You don't let that thing be. But you know, your tastes change. You know, your thought processes change, and we have to allow evolution to happen, embrace the power of it, without allowing it to cause us to be the opposite. you know, we were talking the last show, or one of the last shows, and I was saying that, you know, I had to become what I never had. That was an evolution. I had to learn to love because I didn't know what love was. I had to learn how to express love without it relating to sex. I had to learn different things. In every part of your becoming, you learn, you evolve, you mature, you grow, you molt. It's like when some of the reptiles, as they get older, they lose that old skin and have to find another place, another skin for them to be housed. You're changing, you're evolving, you're growing. It's kind of the same thing. So we have to be okay that even in our growing, we may lose some people, not because we want to, but because they can't handle the change. Mm-hmm. Because when you don't handle my change well, you don't handle me well. Ooh,
thank you.
When you don't handle the fact that I'm not usable anymore, because now I have a greater realization of my value, so I'm putting up some boundaries and some protocols and some fences that you can't do what you used to do. Now you want to call me funny acting. No, I'm not funny acting. I just value me more than I did before.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've become, and in my becoming, I've learned that if I don't value me, you won't value me. But if you won't accept how I value me, you still won't value me. Brothers, what do you got?
So I want to, something you're saying about becoming and value is setting boundaries. When I was, don't laugh, Harris. When I was counseling a couple,
I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness, y'all are terrible. I told the couple that you guys have to set boundaries with each other, because there may be things I don't like, you don't like, I don't like, and you never know because you never shared it with me. And so as I'm evolving I feel like as we evolve to our next level of who we are as an individual, because I feel like evolution is not, it doesn't stop. You're always constantly evolving. You're becoming, I feel like you are always becoming something new.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like at 40, where I was, I'm 47, I'm going to be 48 in 18 days, just the famous plug.
Put it out there, sir.
Put it out there. Just because I evolved, at what I was at 27, I'm evolved, I'm not the same person at 47, and I won't be the same person at 57. Because I've evolved, I've grown, I've changed, I've learned some lessons, I've gained some experiences. So I think when we talk about people, it's setting boundaries and setting healthy boundaries that are good for us, setting boundaries that are good for others, and setting boundaries to let people know, like, no, I'm not going to take this, though you may try, I'm not going to take that. So I think setting boundaries is extremely important when you are evolving. And not to be mean about it. And because some people take when you say stuff like that as you being mean or you being stuck up or bougie. No, I'm just setting these boundaries so we can have a more healthy relationship.
It is a little bougie.
Huh?
Nothing.
I am not bougie. You are the bougie one.
Right?
Dre, what you got?
I mean, I believe, to me, evolving is, to me, it's a must do. like, who, I was just having a conversation today with Bay, and I was just like, you know, who wants to stay in the same position their whole life? You know, like, the worst thing I just do not like to see is someone who is stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm 20 something now. I hang with these type people. I do this type of thing, but there's no growth. And so at 57, I'm still stuck in the same position I was at 23.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ain't trying to go churchy, but my favorite scripture is, when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, I think that, especially in today's society, if I see one more 50-something-year-old person sagging or trying to talk like these young people, or one more 60-something-year-old grandmom twerking in a club full of young people, like, it's not cute. And there has to come a point where we grow. Like, there has to become a point where we look at our life, we take an honest assessment, you know, like, it sucks that you get to someone's homegoing service and they only have two paragraphs of things that they accomplished in life. You know, they were born to this person, they went to regular school, general school, and they died and left these people to cherish. It, you know, what did you do in the meantime of your life?
Mm.
Because our kids look at our adults, and if our adults ain't, excuse my language, if our adults ain't shit, most of our kids don't become shit. Because they don't see that, if they don't understand the concept that if I change me, I can break this curse. I can break this cycle. So I believe, like, to me, evolving is part of breaking the cycle that was placed over your life to stop you from being somebody in life. That's how I look at it.
Absolutely. You know, there's a person that is on this podcast that wrote a book called The Greater You. Y'all should pick it up. It's on Amazon. His name is Andre Harris. You might want to do that because it helps you deal with mental limitations. And I think that most of us have been limited by our own ability to think, which keeps us stuck. Because if I can't think beyond where I am, I'm never going to move beyond where I am. Because you got to think it before you can see it, if that makes sense. So, again, it's called The Greater You by Andre Harris. You should pick it up. It's on the Amazon. It's an ebook and paper form. I should know because I got both, but we're not going to talk about that. We have to put an effort in. It's not, some things are just going to happen because it's natural. You're going to grow physically because it's just the natural course of life. But to become an educated person, a wise person, a knowledgeable person, I have to put in an effort to read, to study, to decipher and filter through what is available, because everything available ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a part of evolving as well, because some of the things that we got, we thought were going to work, but they didn't work because they weren't true. Are you going to allow truth to come and detox you of what holds you to false places and false situations and to walls and to all of these things that won't allow you to move? Do you believe you can do better, or have you settled in your own space that this is as good as it's going to get? I'm sorry, this can't be it. I'm not willing to believe this is it. And what I'm experiencing, what I'm living is good, but this can't be it. So I need to be in a place to evolve, to see better. I'm not always going to be flying coach.
Nope.
I ain't never going to fly career, so that's not a problem. But
man.
I'm going to be able to fly luxury not because I'm trying to show off, but because I deserve it. Because
I'm trying to get the Learjet status. So, yes, sir.
So, you know, I don't always have to shop on the clearance rack. I can go have some custom made. That's an evolving in your own thought process that I'm worth putting in the money to have something custom made for me, so I don't have to go in the store and get something that's been made a million times. Not that it's not good quality, not that it's not good, but when I go get something custom made, that's my design. I can wear my own name. That's an evolving. And I think that many of us are scared to press into what could be because of, one, the fear of success, and one, the fear of failure. Some of us fear that it will work. Some of us fear that it couldn't work. Because if it works, what if I don't do anything else? But if it don't work, they were right. We got to be careful when we can't think big, when we can't think bigger, even when it comes to our own health. Do you believe you can be healed, or do you believe this is going to be it for the rest of my life because that's what the doctor said? That's not always true. They only know so much. In 2020, I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. The doctor said, nobody gets better. In 2021, another doctor said, your heart pumping at 55%. In 2020, it was at 25. Whoa. In 2021, it was at 55. They said, that means your heart is pumping for a regular adult now. But you told last year, I was told I couldn't get better.
Right.
Makes you want to smack the piss out of them, don't it?
So, you know, even when it comes to doing things that have been spoken over you or things you dream of, I'm a writer. I've written books. I've written for magazines. I have some other aspirations, but I have to be able to think about it and put work into it. That's the power of evolving and being okay that things are changing. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, the last 20 or so months were really tight for me because I was going through so many changes all at once. I was having to put so many different things in different areas and let certain people go and let certain situations go. And letting go is not always because something bad happens. Letting go is because decisions were made.
Mm-hmm.
Baby, you made a decision. You want to do something else? Go ahead. I can't become responsible for your decision. I'm only responsible for what I put into this relationship.
No, that's right.
As a person, I evolve. As a leader, I evolve. As a writer, I evolve. And in those things, there's other evolutions because it causes me to do other things. So as you're going through this year, how do you see yourself evolving?
Mm-hmm.
Brothers, what that look like for you?
I want to, something you said about people feeling, being afraid to succeed, be afraid to fail, and then being afraid to succeed. I think one of the things
that smacked me too.
I think one of the things that we have to do is put that out of our thought process, because we realize people are going to. I have realized, let me not say we, because I don't know, but I realized that people are going to say, do, support who and what they desire. It doesn't necessarily mean that They're always going to support you. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't necessarily, you, and sometimes I feel like we want support, but sometimes there are certain things people with support I don't want, I don't desire, and I'm okay. I'm good with it.
Right.
And I can't be afraid to try things and not be successful, but that doesn't mean I give up on it either. I feel like we give up on things because it's easy to give up. It's easy to say it didn't. Oh, it's easy to say, oh, this didn't work. And I want to be very open and transparent with you. You know, this year alone is 10 years for my ministry. And I told Dre that, I said, if this church don't grow, I'm going to shut it down. And he said, no, you're not.
Not so.
And I was coming from a place of my own personal issue, my own personal hurt. But I realized since then, I'm realizing that this isn't really about how I feel. It's really about what I put into it. And sometimes it takes a while for businesses to grow. Some businesses don't grow in the first 5 years. They may grow in the next 10 years. They may grow in the next 15. It takes a while for something to get off the ground. And so we think that we're supposed to be at a particular place in life, and God is, and oh, see, got real thirsty right there. Sorry. Yeah. I'm going to say it. Sometimes God will say, right now, this is what I need you to do because this is what I'm going to have you do. And sometimes, but we feel like we fail because we don't see growth. We don't see the physical growth, but what about the growth that you can't see?
Right.
Like when my students, like I've been teaching for close to 20 years, and I thought that maybe this was not the profession for me, but it's not the physical growth that I've seen. It's the students that said, Mr. Stevenson, if it wasn't for you, I don't know where would I be, because you didn't know that I was in a really rough spot when I was at school. Or Mr. Stevenson, because you helped me learn how to become an actor, or you gave me a chance to be in a play, I'm now doing something. You know, it's those things that we don't see, because we want to see the physical return right then and there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the physical return won't be shown to you until years later, down the line. So it's not that you fail. It's just that it just took a little time to stabilize and to grow.
What about the people who don't ever never grow? Like, what about the ones who are still bitter with life, and every time something happens, it's everybody else's fault but theirs? What about, you know, what about the people who, you know, they always have to have the woe is me's?
My principal told me, one of my assistant principals told me, Mr. Stevenson, you cannot save everybody. And there are some people will always be bitter with life. But guess what? Those people, you don't have to have them in your space. You don't have to have them around you. You don't have to put them there. Let them, you have to learn how to allow people to be where they are in that bit, and to live in that bitterness. But you can't allow it to affect you. And if I'm, you know, anyone listening, if you want to rebut that, that's great. We do rebuttals. you can call us in 319-527-6083. That's 319-527-6083. I just feel like for some people, because there are people, like I have some family members that have that whole woe is me, life ain't been no crystal stair, that. Okay, but that's your life. And I'm sensitive to you, but at this point you have to be the one to make it better. I can't help you in that process if you won't help yourself. Because I'm learning as an educator, I'm learning as a pastor, I'm learning that there are some people that will always this happened to me this weekend. There are some people that will always push and pull on you.
Mm-hmm.
But where were you when you were pouring into them? Where were you when you were pulling them? And where were you when you were pushing them? But then when you get into a different mind frame, they want to, I need you. I need this. I need that. I can't give you the energy. As remember, I said we got to set boundaries. So I'm setting this boundary that I just can't give you the energy for that. So there's some people you can't give them your energy.
I feel you. And I think that's a part of evolving too, knowing when to give someone your energy and when to just say, mm-hmm, okay. You know, because I just feel like, you know, like that's, to me, like that's one of my biggest issues. It's just I have invested so much energy into people that I am now tired because I don't even have energy for me. Because of how many people I've invested energy into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my at this point, I feel like my energy must cost.
Right.
Because it's so much. And especially, and what really bothers me is, it really bothers me when I invest this much energy into somebody and they don't listen to a hill of beans or what I said.
So I think that's when you have to say, okay. Listen, I think that's part of the problem. We want people to listen to us wholeheartedly, but I also think we need to take this route as well. Don't expect a person to listen. I say, when I say things, I say, you can either take this with a grain of salt or it can just go over your head.
Mm-mm.
Because at this point, what I'm saying to you is either to help you or to. And what I'm saying to you is to help you. But people are going to listen or not listen. Just it in a nutshell.
Right. So my thing is, if I'm giving you this much energy that I'm giving you because you took 27 hours of my time, and I say, you know, and you ask me for my suggestion. And I give you my suggestion, and then you throw my suggestion out the window anyway, I should have a right to say, you know, I personally feel like it's no sense in giving you my damn suggestion anymore.
And you can say that.
Like, don't call me. Call
right.
Somebody else.
You
know,
can
call
say
Oprah,
that.
Call Jesus. Call Gandhi. Call anybody but me.
But you can say that, and you can be real about that, even if they get upset, and even if they get mad about it. Like, you can say that because, again, that was your time. That's time taken from you. That's time wasted. That's time that wasn't given to your thought. They asked your honest opinion. And I don't like when people say, well, can you give me your honest opinion? I give you my honest opinion, and you... Really? So I know what to do with you next time. I just won't share.
So that's part of setting a boundary.
I just won't share.
I love it.
Absolutely.
All right. So we want to thank y'all for tuning in on tonight. This is the season 2 kickoff to the brothers. Y'all don't know how much we appreciate each and every one of y'all that's listening, even those who are commenting this year or commenting already on our Facebook page and our social media outlets, the Brothers Podcast on both Facebook and Instagram. We ain't going to go no further than those two. I am developing the website, though, for the show as we speak, and there are going to be just a lot of things that we just want to get to know our people more. We want to always invite you guys to tune in, but also to be a part of the show. Feel free to call in on anytime we're having discussion. 319-527-6083, 319-527-6083 is how you jump on to jump into the discussion. We are so excited to have each and every one of you listen to the show and to give us your real thoughts about the show and our topics next week. We are here every week now, every Tuesday. What? 7:30 on Blog Talk Radio. You can catch the replays on Wednesdays on Apple Podcasts and iHeart Radio Podcasts. We are just so grateful at the outlets that we have crossed into, and we really want you guys to be a part of our family this entire 2023. This season is going to be off the hook. We're going to have guest co-hosts this season. We're going to have some outlandish topics, some fun topics, some deep topics, because that's what we do. And so, as always, we always want you guys to feel like you're part of the family here at the Brothers Podcast, because if it's not for y'all, we wouldn't even do this every single week. But the ratings are outstanding. The listening audience has been outstanding, and we're just so excited to have you guys. I believe next week is on me, I believe. So, you know, I don't know exactly what the topic will be just yet, because I ain't thought about which topic we want to play with next week. But we have a lot. I mean, like, dog, we have a lot of freaking topics. I'm not even going to hold y'all. Like, I was like, yo, we really came up with a lot of topics. And people are still inboxing. Like, yo, you know, I really think we should do you know, this topic. I really think y'all should do this topic. So I really don't know exactly what topic I want to jump into off the top of my head. I really think we're gonna jump with the homie lover friend next week on the show, and I'm gonna see if I can get me
trouble.
And I'm gonna see if I can get me a co-host to come on board with us and possibly discuss this topic, or a couple co-hosts next week. Let's see what we can do. Let's play around with some things and see if we can get a couple co-hosts to come on board next week and be a part of the show.
Can you explain can you give in detail what the homie lover friend?
Homie lover friend is a topic that talk about something that I think we all deal with, and that topic is simply can the person you date and even yourself, is it possible to be best friends with somebody you used to date? And we're going to discuss the pros and the cons and what boundaries need to be established for those who say, yeah, it's possible. But what is what do your spouse really think? So we're going to definitely discuss some things, and we're going to see how things make this thing pop off. And we're going to have some fun. Y'all hear Maurice talking about some but I'm going to definitely reach out to some folk I know that might play on both sides of this field. And then I'm also going to encourage my brothers to do the same and have our co-host, our guest host, call and make this a roundtable discussion. I personally feel this thing is going to jump. I'm excited. This is show two. For season two. So I really, really think this would be something that's really, really popping. And see how we work this thing next week. So I'm excited. We're excited. If I can speak on behalf of my brothers, tonight's show, definitely a needed talk with just the power of evolving. Maurice hit it on the head, you know, people, I'm sorry, Javon hit it on the head, but it resonated to both Maurice and myself. With the whole, you know, people being scared of success. I had to actually send that to somebody like, yo, think about this. Let me know what you think. Are you really scared of success? Like, you know, like that's a deep question to ask somebody. And there are, I think, people who fear or they seize up when things are going well or better than they expected, especially if it's something that they're not used to. So that's a powerful question. So I definitely just want to leave everybody on a good note. I want everybody to really just enjoy your week. And we're going to be back on this air next week, same time, same podcast channel, blogtalkradio.com/thebrotherspodcast. And then catch us once again on the replay every Wednesday, Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, and iHeart Radio. Yeah, we getting there, y'all. We not stopping. I promise y'all. I'm trying to aim towards Apple. I mean, Amazon podcast. Anybody else that got a podcast? This season. Also, fans, keep in mind to our listening audience that we will be giving you guys the chance to win some things this season. We are currently just really trying to finish up the behind the scenes of getting some prizes set up so that every now and again we might be throwing some things your way. So, you know, who knows, you might win a free trip for being a listener. You might win some concert tickets. You might win a gift card to a restaurant. Who knows, you might win some money. We're going to see what we can do to make it do what it do when you do what it do, because this is the Brothers Podcast, and we love each and every one of y'all. Until next week, holla at your boy. I'm Andre Harris on behalf of Maurice Stevenson, on behalf of Dr. Bertrand. We'll see you guys next week.
See you next week.
Channel. Be blessed.
Peace out.